Good morning and welcome to All Saints Fordham and Natash Green. Super to see you here this morning for our Harvest Thanksgiving service. Today's Sunday, the 10th of October, 2021, and it's great to see you gathered here in Fordham Church. Welcome as well if you're joining us online for the service. Harvest Sunday, we have a particular focus on giving thanks to God for the many good things that his world produces. We come to thank him for our daily provision of food and clothing, warmth and shelter. And today, as part of our Thanksgiving, we're collecting items of food, toiletries and clothing for Afghan and Syrian refugees in the Colchester area. And these will be distributed through Bridgeway Mission. And hopefully, Suzanne Youssef, who works for Bridgeway, is going to be with us a bit later on, so do welcome her. At the end of the service, we're going to have a church community photo outside in the churchyard. It'll be on this side of the church, and as soon as the service finishes, we'll just head straight out for that. Hopefully, it'll only take just a few minutes. I'll give some more details at the end of the service. So we're going to worship God with our opening harvest hymn. And during that song, I invite you to bring items up to the Lord's table for the Bridgeway collection. And Alistair and I will be there to receive them. Now, there are lots of things on and under the table, under the balcony. Do please bring those up. The more, the merrier. You don't have to only bring things that you've brought. So do go and get something from the table and bring that to the front. And I particularly encourage children and young people to be involved with that. Well, let's prepare our hearts now to worship and engage with God. Please bow your head for an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a new day. You've made this day, and it's a gift from you. We've come here, we're gathered here to focus our attention on you. Help us to put aside the busy thoughts that we bring with us, the tasks to be done, and the people we need to contact, Lord, all those kind of things. We pray you'd help us to put them aside so we can focus on you, our God and King. We're here to worship you and to thank you for your goodness to us. And we're here to listen to your teaching, to ask for your forgiveness and to pray to you. So we ask now that you will give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might be formed according to your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I invite you to stand to sing our opening hymn, We Plow the Fields and Scatter. And as we praise together, please bring your items for Bridgeway Mission to the Lord's table.
Thank you.
Let's pray together as we stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your earth. We thank you for the light and shade of the changing seasons. We thank you for their variety and dependability. We thank you for soil and seed and sunshine, which bring life around us, creating our daily food and filling the countryside with beauty. And we thank you that out of our resources, we've been able to bring all these things, all these items, to meet the needs of people who've been displaced from their homes and countries, especially in these last months by the Taliban takeover in Afghanistan. Please would you help Bridgeway Mission in their work to meet the needs of these people. And we pray all these things will be a blessing to them. Amen. And as we stand, let's pray together the Harvest Collect. I think that'll be on the screen, and it's also in the service sheet on page 2. A moment of quiet. Let's pray together. Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness, and you give us the fruits of the earth in their season. Grant that we may use them to your glory, for the relief of those in need, and for our own well-being. Through Jesus Christ, our Son, our Lord. Amen. Good, well, do sit down. Welcome to those of you who have arrived in the last few minutes. Really super to see you. Welcome up in the balcony. And we're going to continue in an attitude of prayer as we prepare to confess our sins to God with the prayers on page 2. I'm going to lead 4 prayers. Please respond to each one. Forgive us and help us. Human sin disfigures the whole creation, which groans with eager longing for God's redemption. A moment of quiet, and then we'll pray together. Heavenly Father, we confess our sins and the sins of our society and the misuse of God's creation. God, our Father, we're sorry for the times when we've used your gifts carelessly and acted ungratefully. Hear our prayer and in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We enjoy the fruits of the harvest, but sometimes forget that you have given them to us. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We belong to a people who are full and satisfied, but ignore the cry of the hungry. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We are thoughtless and do not care enough for the world you have made. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We store up goods for ourselves alone, as if there were no God and no heaven. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In my mother's garden, there is an apple tree, and this tree grows my favorite kind of apple, the Cox's orange pippin. Maybe you're familiar with it. The taste brings back happy memories of my childhood, and I went over a couple of weeks ago to pick this year's crop. I wonder what your favorite piece of fruit or veg is. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up or to call it out, but do have a think and see if you can picture it in your mind's eye. What's your favorite? Today we praise God for all the delicious and nutritious foods that his world produces. And so far our service has been focused on thanksgiving for the harvest in God's world. We now move to listen to God's word for us today. And in today's Bible reading, you'll hear that God wants another kind of harvest as well, a harvest in your heart. As we prepare to listen to God, we're going to sing the song Show Us Christ, and after that, Catherine Bond will bring the first Bible reading. Will you please stand to sing?
Please take a seat. The Bible reading today can be found from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, starting at verse 4, and you can find the Bibles underneath your seats on page 1036. Luke, chapter 8, starting at verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and the people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand."
Thank you, Catherine. Today's talk is called Harvest in Your Heart, and do keep your Bible open so that we can look at some of those verses together. And if it helps you taking notes during the teaching, there's space on page 4 of the notice sheet. So this is quite a well-known Bible story. I'm wondering here, who here is already familiar with it? Would you put your hand up if you've heard this Bible story before? Good, a good number of people. But there may be some people here for whom it's brand new. Would you put your hand up nice and high if this is a new Bible story for you? One hand there, one up in the balcony, one at the back there. Okay, good, but most of us know it. Well, we're going to think about it for the next few minutes and see what we can learn from it. Jesus tells a seemingly simple story about a farmer scattering seed over a field. And the seed falls in different places. So I've got my Lego land and field here, and some fell on the hard path, and Jesus in his story says that the birds came and ate it up. Some withered because it fell on rocky soil, and here's the rocky soil. Some fell among thorns, which grew up and then ended up choking the plants. I don't know if you can see those spiky thorns on the camera there. Then lastly, some fell on good soil, and it produced a crop, even 100 times the seed that was sown. Well, it's a nice story, isn't it? But we want to know what it means. And Luke, the gospel writer, doesn't leave us in the dark. So chapter 8 continues in verses 11 to 15 with Jesus' recording of the explanation. And we note in the story that he didn't give the explanation to everybody. To some people, some people only heard what Catherine's just read so far. But to his disciples, he gave an explanation. And Catherine's going to come and read that section for us.
Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 11 on page 1037. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good. So this bit of God's word shows us that God wants a harvest in our hearts. Please look with me at verse 11. Jesus says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Jesus is telling us that God's word is like a seed. God's word, that is the teaching that we find in the Bible, is like a seed that gets planted inside people, gets planted in us. And when we look at verse 15, we see that God's word is designed to produce a harvest in people's hearts. But the seed on good soil, that's this one over here, stands for those who with a noble and good heart hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So, Jesus is saying is that the word of God is like a seed that gets planted in people. So when we read the Bible, then the seed is being sown on us. And when we listen to it being read, as we just heard, it's like the seed is sown upon us. And when we hear it explained faithfully, we are receiving the seed upon us. One of the truly incredible things about the world that God has made is the way in which tiny seeds grow into big plants and trees. The size of a tree compared to the seed from which it begins is remarkable, isn't it? Just think about that for a moment. Let me get a seed out of this Cox's orange pippin. Here we go. I don't know if you're going to be able to see that on the camera. Just tiny in my hand. Think about some of the trees just outside in the churchyard and how they grow from that tiny seed to begin with. I wonder if somebody would like to come and plant, a younger member of the congregation would like to come and plant this seed in my seed pot here. Yes, let's have you next to Israel. Yep. Here you go. So do you want to just make a hole in the soil there and then you can plant it down. Dig down a bit. That looks good. Pop it in and then just cover it over with the soil. Thank you. A tiny seed will burst into life when it comes into contact with warmth and water. And over the years, it grows, doesn't it? And then year after year, a tree can produce fruit, just like the apple tree in my mother's garden produces its yield. So in his story, Jesus understands God's word to be like a seed. And it's a seed that gets planted inside people. God's word is intended to do something in people's hearts. So this book, which contains God's word for us, it's meant to do something. It's not just to sit on the shelf in our house. It's meant to go inside us and to produce a harvest in our heart. God wants to produce a crop inside you. It gets inside us when we listen to it, when we read it, when we understand it. It goes in through our eyes and our ears and produces a crop when we understand it and hold on to it in our hearts. So our first question is, are you listening to God's word? Are you listening to God's word on a regular basis so that it can do its work inside you? Are you listening? Verse 15 again, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word. It can't do anything to you if you never hear it. Retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So firstly, Jesus teaches us that God's word is like a seed. But this story has another important message for us. Jesus' story is about how we listen to God's word and why some people give up on following Jesus. It's an encouragement to each of us here today to keep going, to keep responding to God's word through every season of our lives. Jesus' story shows us that the harvest depends on the kind of people we are. It depends on our hearts. And Jesus divides people who hear God's word into four different kinds of people. Those are the four different types of ground that we've heard in the story. There are the hard-hearted people, the hard path people, the rocky, stony ground people, where the soil is shallow. There are the thorny ground people, and there are the good soil people. Now, obviously, in the story, we want to be the good soil people, don't we? But do have a think. Which type of ground do you think you are? What we find when we look at the details of the story is that the seed of God's word doesn't grow in each person's heart automatically. When you plant a seed in the ground and you water it, it's got the right nutrients, it just kind of grows automatically, doesn't it?
But it's not like that with the Word of God. Some people hear God's word, but they have hard hearts. And Jesus pictures these people as like a hard path, perhaps by the side of the field. And in his picture, the birds come and pick up some of the seed. It hasn't been able to go into the ground because it's hard. So the birds come and eat some of it. People walking by trample it and crush it underfoot. And Jesus comments in verse 12, "The devil comes and takes away God's teaching from their hearts so that they may not believe the teaching and be saved." So the path equals hard-hearted people. The path is hard-hearted people, and this is really bad. These people are not saved for eternal life. They've heard the word, they've been to church and heard it explained, but it hasn't gone inside them. And Jesus says, they may not believe the teaching and be saved. So, who have we got here? This is hard-hearted Harry. You stick Harry on there. And then here we've got hard-hearted Henrietta. Jesus' story says to us, don't be a hard path person. We don't want to be that one. The second group hear God's word and accept it with joy. Jesus describes them as rocky people who have shallow hearts. The seed springs up joyfully, but it doesn't have a deep root, and the plants therefore wither because they can't absorb any water, any moisture. These plants are in shallow soil and they don't go deep. So these people believe for a while, but when something comes along that tests their faith, that makes following Jesus difficult, they turn away from God and fall away. So the rocky ground represents a shallow heart. Now, you may have seen this happen to friends or members of your family. They respond to the gospel of Jesus with joy, and you think, hooray, my friend's become a Christian. How wonderful. But sometime later, something difficult happens. Their heart and faith is tested, and they grow cold towards God's word, and they grow cold towards the church community. And they disappear off the scene. It's very sad when this happens. I don't know if you can think of a particular person. It can be heartbreaking. Shallow-hearted people are probably not saved for eternal life. So here we have shallow-hearted Sebastian. And who else have we got? Shallow-hearted Stella. I've tried to choose names of people where we don't have a name in the congregation, but if you are called Sebastian or Stella, it's not personally directed at you. Jesus says in his story, don't be a shallow soil person. We don't want to be that. The third group are described as thorny ground. These people listen to God's word and they respond to it. But as they grow, the thorny plants around them choke them. And Jesus tells us in verse 14 what the thorny plants represent in real life. Do have a look in your Bible with me at verse 14, because we need to pay careful attention to Jesus' interpretation of what the thorns represent. He says they represent life's worries, riches, and pleasures. So the people here, their attention is choked by the difficulties of life on one hand and the attraction of wealth and amusements on the other hand. Those are the two kinds of things, well, the three things that grow up and choke the word of God and stop it producing fruit in a person's life. So what happens is the plants never get very far. They never produce much fruit to speak of. And these people have a divided heart. So the thorny ground represents people with a divided heart. This ground is full of other kinds of seeds alongside God's teaching. And these people have divided hearts that love other things more than God's word. So here we have divided Dave, who's the captain of a ship. And we also have divided heart Daphne. She's caught up in some brambles over here. Jesus' story warns us, saying, don't let the worries of this life weigh you down. Don't get so caught up in them that you can't keep receiving God's word and growing. And don't have all your focus on money, because it's a deceptive master. It can pull you away from the word of God. Finally, there are people who hear God's word and they produce a good harvest. These people, Jesus says, have good and noble hearts. They hear the word, they keep hold of it, and by keeping going, produce a harvest. These are the good soil people who have a good heart. And here we have good-hearted Gwen. And we also have good-hearted Gary. Now, I don't know if you can see Gary on the screen, but some of you will, of course, know that that's actually Steve. But today, Steve is Gary. So like the tiny apple seed creating a big tree, God's word produces a big harvest in these people, even 100 times what was planted. An amazing return. And this is what God wants for you. God wants a harvest in your heart. God wants you to be the good soil people. So in Jesus' story, the big difference between a big stack of juicy apples on one hand at harvest time, and on the other hand, no apples at all, is not to do with the quality of the seed. No, God's word is good seed. Whether it grows in a person depends upon their heart. So where do you think you are in the picture? Are you perhaps hard-hearted Harry on the path? Or maybe you're shallow-hearted Stella on the rocks? Or perhaps you're divided Dave amongst the thorns? Or are you good-hearted Gwen producing a crop? Jesus' story shows us that we need to keep going in responding to God's word through all the different stages of our life. It's not enough to respond for a little while and then to give up. To be like that is to be a rocky person. It's the long haul which shows the truth about what kind of ground we really are. And early on in life, it may be difficult to tell. But we need to keep believing and holding on to God's word through every stage of life until it produces a harvest of salvation. So you need to keep going through your school years. You need to keep going through your teenage years. And then maybe if you go to college or university, you need to keep going. You need to keep going through your first job. Maybe challenges will come. And then as your career progresses, or perhaps through unemployment, you need to keep going through marriage, or maybe singleness, through becoming a mother or a father. You need to keep going through losing somebody that you love, through tragedy maybe, perhaps even disability. Keep going through midlife, keep going through retirement, keep going through the difficulties of old age. Good heart people keep believing. They keep holding on to God's teaching through thick and thin, until it produces a harvest of salvation. So Jesus' story says, be like a good soil person. Seek to understand God's word and to do that with all your heart. Pray that God will help you to be good soil every time you engage with the seed of his word. Well, let's pray that now. Just a moment of quiet for you to think and pray on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we see these different kind of people presented before us, different kinds of ground and soil. And Father, we want to be the good soil, to respond to your word. So we pray for your help, the help of your Holy Spirit, that every time we hear your word, every time we read it and think about it, you would enable us to be good soil and to receive it into our hearts. We pray this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to respond in song with the song Before You I Kneel. This is a song really about work life and producing a crop and a harvest in the work we do in our studies. Let's stand to sing. As we stand, let's affirm our faith using words that you can find on page 3, and I think they'll be on the screen as well. People of God, do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who
who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again. We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world? We believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please sit down. My wife Georgina and some members of the All Saints Club are going to come and tell us about what the Luke group have been learning over the last couple of weeks.
Can I just shout? No. Interestingly, we have a seed size mic, which is quite cute. Look. So, anyway, these Luke group children have very bravely volunteered, I think, to tell us what each picture on our banner means. And Alice is going to go first. So, Alice, can you point to your picture, please? Okay, so that was our very first picture, wasn't it? What story were we learning about?
We were learning about the fisherman following Jesus.
Okay, so the fisherman following Jesus. And what did that teach us about King Jesus?
To always follow him.
Very good. That's a great thing to learn, isn't it? Follow King Jesus. Thanks, Alice. You can scooch down again. Okay, Marco, you're going to tell us about the second picture. Do you want to point to it for us first? It's those two guys. Tell us, Marco, what is the story about?
It was about how God cured the person with leprosy.
That's right. And Marco, just come a bit nearer to me because my arm is not that long. Can you tell me how he did it?
He wrapped him in cloth, I think, and then he just took it off and he was cured. Be clean.
Fantastic. You may not have heard that. I'm going to get him to say it again. What did he say?
Be clean.
That's right. He just used his voice and the man was healed. So Jesus is pretty powerful, isn't he? Yeah. Okay. Sit down. Thanks, Marco. Okay, Matthew, point to your picture, please. Okay, what story is this, Matthew?
It's when somebody who was paralyzed and his friends tried to lower him down to Jesus.
And what happened when he got to Jesus' feet? What did Jesus do? Did Jesus heal him? Yeah, and do you remember how he did it? No, okay, don't worry, I'll tell them. He just said, pick up your mat and walk, and the man did. So again, we see how powerful Jesus' words are. Okay, Elizabeth, you've got to tell us about the last picture. Now, yours is a little bit strange. Well, it's different to the others because it was a story, wasn't it, that Jesus told. Can you come and tell me the name of that story?
The parable of the sower.
Good girl. And that's the story we've been learning about today. Okay, Elizabeth, tell us, what does the seed represent?
God's word.
Very good. And what did the soil represent?
Us.
That's right, it's our hearts. And when Shirley taught the Luke group, thanks Elizabeth, when Shirley taught the Luke group that story, she gave them something to help them remember to be good soil. Do you want to go and get those things? Okay, so Shirley gave them a little plant pot, and at the bottom we put some tissue, which was our seed. And then what kind of seed did we put in the bottom, Matthew?
Cress seeds.
And how big were they?
They weren't very big.
In fact, we found it really hard to see them. We kept losing them, didn't we? But have a look now at your pots. What has happened?
Eventually, the seeds crack open and the cress shoots start coming out.
And how big do you reckon they are now?
Not that big.
They're bigger, aren't they? Are they ready for harvesting? Okay. When they are ready for harvesting, who's going to have a go at eating them? Hands up. Look at that. Very good work, parents. Well done. Okay, well, can we give a clap to our Loot group? Because I think they've been very brave. Shirley also wrote a little prayer on each pot, and the children are going to read that prayer now. So can we do it all together after three? Ready? Are you going to join in, Matthew? Okay, one, two, three.
Lord, make my heart like the soil.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, All Saints Club. We're going to carry on praying now, and Katie Knights is going to lead us in some Thanksgiving prayers. Julian, is that mic working?
Can you hear me? Excellent. Good morning. Nice to see you all. Okay, we're going to pray together this morning as part of our worship, and we are going to do some prayers of thanks. So I've got some little pictures to give us some little prompts, and I thought a good idea would be for us to pray in our little group, so maybe one or two people around you, we could pray together, and then we'll all come back together in a moment. So the first two pictures I'm going to show you are prayers of thanksgiving for the food that we have. We often take food that we have for granted, the fact that we can go to the shop and buy food really readily. We often take for granted, so prayer for food and drink and the provision that we have. And the next prayer is for our clothing. We have lots of clothing that we can have in any weather to make us warmer or cooler. We often take that for granted too. Today is a really good opportunity to consider that, because there are lots of people that don't have that privilege. So we're going to pray together in little groups, and then I'll say Father God, and then we'll all come together and say hear our prayer. So could you maybe join with a few people around you and pray about the food that we have and thanksgiving for the clothing that we have.
Thank you. Okay. Father God, hear our prayer. Okay, the next prayer that we're going to do is for medical provision and all of the health care that we have available to us really readily. This has obviously been really an important consideration over the last couple of years. The fact that we are able to access healthcare really readily. We may pray for people that don't have that. And our homes. There's lots of things on here. The communication by phone to keep us in contact with our loved ones. Books to enjoy. Covers and pillows to keep us comfortable. Secure windows and doors. Teddies to cuddle. And lots of things in our gardens to keep us happy too. So for medicine and for our homes now. Off you go. Okay, let's say together, Father God, hear our prayer. Our next picture is our senses, the ability to enjoy God's creation through sight, through touch, through hearing, through smell and taste. We just do this all day, every day, and it will be a really good opportunity to say thank you for that now. So off you go. Father God, hear our prayer. Okay, we've got some more pictures here. This one is our family and friends and our community. And the fact that we can meet together again is a wonderful thing after all that time of being separate. The fact that we can share things in conversation and over meals and just generally be together. And this next one is for people that help us. I put a petrol pump here because that's really been a very big thing over the last month or so. The fact that we've got access to all of the things that we need. People that help us in shops, that help to deliver things to us. Farmers that harvest our crops.
postal delivery people that deliver things that we need. Often this is just part of our daily life that we just take for granted, so it would be a good opportunity to think about our family, friends and loved ones, maybe people that are struggling with that and maybe are lonely at the moment, and also for people that help us. So let's pray. Father God, hear our prayer. Thank you. Oh, hang on. Okay, thank you. I'll have to hold this one in a minute, all right. Okay, so if you look very carefully, hopefully, you can see that our prayers spell out the word thank you, but we've got one letter missing because this is the final one, and this is thanks to God for sending his son Jesus to restore our relationship with God. So I've got a picture of the cross, the empty tomb, the love of God, and for God so loved the world. So I think this final prayer I'll pray for us. Let's pray one final time. Father God, thank you for your son Jesus, for his life, his death, and for his resurrection. We pray that we may take the seed of his word into our hearts and grow in our love for you and seek to share your love with others. We ask all of these prayers in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Katie. And let's conclude our prayers by saying the famous Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our final hymn is a song of praise, thanking God for his day-by-day provision. Will you please stand to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my
Heavenly Father, we celebrate your faithfulness and your generosity to us in all the good things that we enjoy in your world. Thank you for all that you give us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Do please sit down. As we come to the end of this service, let me give you a few items of church family news. We're collecting for Bridgeway Mission, and Suzanne is here. Suzanne, would you just stand up where you are, just so that we can see who she is? Do greet and welcome Suzanne and her family after the service. We return to the Message of the Cross teaching series next Sunday. Each week we're seeking to grow in our understanding of the cross and its significance for our life. And next Sunday I'll be speaking on the important subject of justification. What does it mean to say that Jesus' death on the cross justifies someone before God? That's what we're thinking about. And if you're not clear, well, come next Sunday and you can find out. The All Saints Club for 4 to 16-year-olds will be running. And Roger Miles, the church treasurer, will give a presentation, an autumn giving focus, encouraging us in our giving to the work of our church. Let's have a think about what's going on this week. Babies and toddlers will be meeting as usual on Tuesday morning from 9:30 a.m. And Jeanette and Rachel are looking for a new team member, and I wonder if that could be you. There are details in the notice sheet of what's involved. Do get in touch with them if you're interested in serving in this valuable ministry. On Wednesday, the 8 Ash Green School Harvest Service will be, the Holy Trinity 8 Ash Green School Service will be happening in the 8 Ash Green Church at 1:30. And then on Thursday, the Fordham School Harvest Service will be in here at 2 p.m. Please do pray for those two events as I seek to connect with those two communities, and I'll be explaining about the parable of the sower. The monthly friendship group meeting will be this Thursday in the John Ann Barn, 2 p.m. And on Friday, the community hub will be open from 11:45 to 3:45 in the afternoon. We're looking to open a coffee shop as part of the hub. And in preparation for this, Jackie Griffiths is looking for volunteers to help. So do please speak to her if you're interested in serving in that way. Growth groups are meeting during the week, and on Friday, the 421 youth group will be meeting at 7:30 p.m. Grace Knights, who we saw up the front just a few moments ago, is turning 15, and so we want to wish Grace a very happy birthday from all of us. We welcome new members of the care team, Andy and Miriam Jelfs. I don't think they're here today. I think Andy's preaching elsewhere. The care team are available for you to contact if you need help, someone to talk to, or you'd appreciate prayer. And contact details are in the notice sheet. So in a few moments' time, we're going to go outside for a church community photograph in the churchyard. And let me just give you a few details. We're going to gather on this side of the church. And we want this really just to take a few minutes, and after that, tea and coffee will be served back inside the church. So as soon as the service finishes, please will you head straight out rather than doing something else first. And so we'll gather as quickly as we can and take the photo. We plan to use the photo on the website and in church publicity to increase our welcome as a church. So please feel no obligation to be in the photo if you'd rather not. But having said that, I'd love you to be in the picture. Julian's going to take the photo above the church roof using a drone camera. So for the picture, we basically need to look at the drone and smile and wave. And here's the key detail, okay? If you can't see the drone, you won't be in the photo. So don't stand underneath a tree, for instance. Okay? And I think we'll mainly gather in this area to the left of the porch and see if that will work. So if you can't see the drone, you won't be in the picture. So it's been great to see you here today. I'm so glad you came. Let's finish with a prayer and the blessing. Heavenly Father, as we go into a new week, we look to you, we've heard your word, and we pray that you would enable us to be the good soil by the power of your Spirit. Produce the crop in our lives that you want, in our work, in our studies, in our neighborhoods, the places where we live. And may God the Trinity make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Please join me outside for the photo.